Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Listen, what is the common thoughts? Because I know I was talking to some missionaries, some people from China, and Yulong from Hong Kong, actually, and he was talking to me about how fearful China was about Christians coming to China, and they have a beautiful, huge church in China, but the government I'm talking about, because they see it, according to him and some others, and what we're about to see, as, you know, conversions of a government versus just the conversion of your heart, the government of your heart. And of course, they saw it as the Catholic Church, you know, setting up, and there was a history where the Catholic Church was coming in and doing those particular things, and other parts of the church was doing that. But their fear is that that's another way of conversion. They don't want people to become Christians, you know, and it's pretty interesting. But you're going to hear firsthand what the viewpoint is, because China is growing large. It's turned into a superpower now. It's, of course, America's economy right down today is about twice the size of China, but their population is almost three times the size of America. But they have a lot of buying power, and they're beginning to do things, and they're a superpower. But listen how they describe, listen how he describes specifically America and the Christians of the world, but Christian American Christians. Check it out.
When we speak of a superpower, it's not only about power, but also about a way of thinking and behaving that tends to focus only on one's own interest when interfering in other countries' affairs, thoughtlessly, without allowing them to participate in the process, without equality. And that's why we hate the idea of superpowers. China is probably already an economic superpower, but we are not an ideological superpower. We don't interfere in the internal affairs of other countries. We value diversity and the rule of law. We have a different ideology, unlike the American Christian mentality, which is always seeking to convert everyone else.
Well, it's very interesting that there is an ideology in China. It's called communism.
Right.
And if you move outside of that idea of communism, it doesn't end well for you.
Yeah.
You know, and the reports are that China was struggling. They were going through difficult times, and they needed somebody to be able to rescue them from that. And of course, Xi Jinping, the president, now actually came in and basically just cranked up steroids, if you would, use of communism, like we're going to be all communists. And they just went and kind of went after anybody that wasn't, and just lined up to communism. And so the businesses that are there under communism, which you've got to surrender who you are as a company. They've got to know everything about you, and you're coming up under their umbrella, which is really not, you know, capitalism.
So the government owns all business, pretty much.
Pretty much, they know everything about your business. So you're like, here it is. I mean, everything you do has to be in under the control. Communism is about that.
There's no such thing as intellectual property.
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, you know, the president of China just got voted in. He worked it out to where he could be the president forever. And, you know, formerly we call that king.
Right.
But
or
now,
dictator.
Or
right.
Dictator. It's what's happening in Turkey. We're seeing he's not there forever yet, but he hasn't finished.
He's working it.
He's working it little by little.
He's working it.
I believe the reports are that Erdogan of China or of Turkey says that democracy is like a train that you ride to get you to the place that you want to go.
Oof.
And we're looking at it take place. Well, it happened in China, and it happens when you're kind of down low. You're going through a difficult time. We've got to move quickly on this. But so President Xi, the president of China, has three directives. Listen to these three directives that he wants to be able to meet by the 100th year anniversary of the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, which is 2021. Listen to this.
There are three directives that Xi Jinping also mentioned. Firstly, the leadership of the international community. Secondly, the creation of a new international order, including the economic, political, and military order. I believe that the military order must also be included. And thirdly, the leadership of the international community to create common economic, political, and territorial security, etc., as well as the management of a fair economic globalization process.
When the Olympics was in China, it was pretty powerful Olympics, but they produced something that was so powerful. It was footsteps of giants. And they had these fireworks set off where it looked like a huge foot would land and it would just go boom. And then they had the next foot that would land, boom.
I remember that.
But there are spiritual giants over territories. That's the only way that, you know, these kind of governments could actually be so tyrannical and do the things that they're doing. And we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, not against flesh and blood. And so even Dutch Sheets prophesied in the beginning of 2018, I believe it was, that God's going to be taking down these giants that have been around since the beginning. And that's what's keeping these mindsets that just keep hanging in. A 100-year mindset that many people have. It doesn't end well for humanity. You know, communism doesn't end well because so many lives are lost in this. But I want to look at this again. These are the three goals President Xi of China has. The first one is China's leaders to have an international presence across the world. Look, the second one's really big. The creation of a new international order, including the economic, political, and military order. This is so important. Mm. This, look at me for a moment. This is so important because we're looking at 1.3 billion people on the face of the earth. Their army is reportedly
1 million.
1 million soldiers. With NATO, with all of our countries coming together, we have 3 million soldiers. Mm. And so you can imagine they have
them by themselves, 1 million.
1 million by themselves. And so you're looking at a new world order. This is goal by 2021. So this is so important when you're seeing this. And the third is the leadership of international community to create common economic, political, territory, security, developing a fair economic globalization process. And so now they say, we're going to keep you safe. Hmm. Facial recognition, all those kind of things going on right there. So you're looking at this huge country with this huge economic power that are going into the world and trying to, because if you got 1.3 billion people to feed, you got to pay attention.
Yeah, they're coming into the international community with vision.
Yes.
I mean, this is serious.
But look at this, I want you to see this. This is Revelation chapter 13 to help us understand the economies that's going to come up in the last days. John, read this thing for us.
The beast causes all, both small and great.
And this is the beast, this is the end time organization. It could be a city, it could be a country, but it's actually controlling the business economy, okay?
Both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand of the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Listen, there is a developing a system that's happening right before us. We probably, if you call our last program, we talked about facial recognition and things that are going on. It's not to be fearful, but it's to be aware. It requires wisdom. If you heard us right before the break, we're talking about the systems that are being set up. A country that has 1.3 plus billion folks, and they'd have more if they allow people to have more than two babies.
Yeah.
But you lose your baby if you have more than that. In China, the President Xi and the things that he's setting up, and his goal is to reach at a certain time at 2021, which is less than 4 years away. You know, has some very specific goals, but understand these technical systems. We're going to talk to you in a moment about how they're setting up their social media, the intranet that's there, and how they're controlling every aspect of that in their society. And it's happening. It's an Orwellian society being set up by President Xi. But I remember, so imagine they're collecting all this data on us, right? All this data is being collected. Well, I was in this prophetic dream. In this dream, God was showing me specifically, and all these people were in these different like office pods. Did you sit in office pods like? And they were entering the data, like all your data, your social security number, your height, and where you travel, what's going on. And everybody had another entry area where they're entering all this data. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody had a bulletin board that was there beside them, but you couldn't talk. You weren't allowed to go talk to each other and go, hey, this is kind of strange. But you had a bulletin board that you can communicate on. And I knew something is wrong. We should not be collecting all this data for this reason, right?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, I got up in this prophetic dream, and God shows me. And I get up on this board, this whiteboard, to communicate to everybody what's going on. And I started writing on this whiteboard. So maybe you can take a look at this, what I wrote. I said, and the number of his name was 666. Mm. Understand, this is not some animal coming up. It's a beast system. It's a city, it's a nation state, it's somebody who has, it could be China for what's going on right now. They have 1.3 billion people, and President Xi's goal by 2021 is the 100th year anniversary of the Communist Party. If you think about the pendulum theory that we talked about in our previous program, you can go back and check it out, that 2025 is when that 40-year period hits.
Wow.
And always happens. Sometimes, you know, Hitler came up during that time, but Reagan came up during that time. So it all depends who you have during that time, which makes you thankful for who we have in America that's here during this time. But China's Communist Party is going to have its 100th year anniversary on 2021, and they have a goal of reaching by July 2021. Their goal is to be able to, you can see it right here, cue up 4549, is to build a moderate, prosperous society for at least a billion people. This is President Xi's goal. So that's a billion folks. That's a pretty big deal when you're thinking about that right there. As a matter of fact, take a look at the queue up for 4559 and take a look at this.
China has to continue to force the pace. In 4 years' time, the Communist Party will celebrate its 100th birthday. That's the deadline for Xi Jinping's first centennial goal, to build a moderately prosperous society for at least a billion Chinese.
That's a big deal. Money doesn't just grow on trees. It doesn't fall out of the skies. It gets transferred. Hmm. So when you're going to bring wealth to 1.3 billion, which is great, I think the Chinese people should have a moderate life ever, like everybody else. But understand that's a shifting of economy. That's what takes place when we talk about that in the pendulum theory. As a matter of fact, check out the map system, how they perceive, you know, the European countries, and they perceive America and all the countries in between that, which is China and all the countries. See how they perceive it and how their maps are set up in the majority of China. Check it out.
China has great ambitions. That's not only in evidence at party conferences. You just have to take a look at the sort of maps that are common here. Here you can see at a glance which place China prefers to occupy in the world. The center. On this map, Europe and the US are on the world's margins.
This is important. You got to pay attention. Nobody paid attention to Hitler when Hitler was doing what he was doing. He comes on the stage, they still couldn't believe it. While he was doing it, a lot of America didn't believe it until finally we got pressed in by the cigar-smoking
Winston Churchill.
And he had to keep asking America to get involved.
Yeah.
Of course, also the Pearl Harbor and the things that happened
there. Roosevelt didn't want to get into it.
Yeah, get involved. But we're watching this take place, and today there's technology. They are literally President Xi is pushing China. Understand, he's president forever, so you can call him czar, you can call him king. He's forever there. He's dealing with anybody that's against the communist government, the reports are. But they're building up their presence on the political stage. Take a look.
As China builds up its presence on the world political stage, as a host, intermediary or investor, its foreign policy has also become dynamic. Quite incredibly dynamic, in fact.
This is important because China was actually suffering prior to President Xi. They were kind of all over the place. Are we capitalists? Are we communists? Hmm. And so when he came through and he came up, he's like, we're going to go all communists. We decided we're going to be communists. He began to deal with anybody that rose up against that. He began to deal with his competition that was going on. And he finally, he's like, let's just go for this. And of course, people needed the reprieve. And they're feeling good about it, but the long extended process of communism never turns out well. And now they're actually working on the New Silk Road, they're calling it, the reported New Silk Road, and they're taking I guess you would say advantage or the opportunity of countries that are going and struggling, and they're coming and offering to build roads, bridges, and trains, and this type of stuff with their own money.
Who wouldn't turn that down, right?
With their own labor.
Yeah.
But it's going to be their trains, their transportation, with this kind of controlling system. Take a look at this.
China's best-known project, the so-called New Silk Road, offers one solution. Using Chinese construction companies and labor, China will plan, finance, and build rail links, ports, highways and airports across dozens of countries westward. It's a tempting offer for some countries, especially ones with developing economies that can't afford such infrastructure investments.
This is huge. Guess what? They're building their military up. President Xi says, my job, and I'm going to make sure that we have the top military in the world. 1.3 billion folks, a million people in their military. Take a look.
Nevertheless, China is upgrading its armed forces rapidly. Xi Jinping says the military is his responsibility, and he intends to take China's to the top. In pursuit of this goal, Beijing is investing huge sums of money in armaments, military training, and public relations work.
We have to understand this giant is rising, just like those steps at the Olympics that was taken. This giant, they're rising, and they're big, and they're huge, and the Chinese people are very important, and The largest part of our church, I believe, is in China.
130 million
But you can't, they're not obviously for Christians and conversions and that type of thing. We saw them breaking the cross. And when now we see what happened. When President Xi came in, he had his people go around and break all the crosses off
and
the churches.
And the cross.
Because they saw that, they saw that as a competition to them. And by the way, Christianity is about converting the heart, not converting the world into
it's
some
system. It's not about this world, it's the one to come.
About the one to come. And so not only that, that understand, look at your iPhones, your Apples, your computers, your processors, they're made in China.
Your TV.
They dominate and they're leaders in the electronic field, and they're actually going to use this. Take a look at this when you think about this giant arising and what's taking place. Take a look.
China is the world leader on the electronic battlefield. The party has transformed the internet in China into the world's largest intranet. A solid electronic wall surrounds the country and sets limits on the electronic freedom of China's 750 million internet users. Foreign internet giants who refuse to accept China's terms and conditions are shut out.
If you don't accept the communist government's ways of doing things, you're shut out. Now, what is the difference between an internet and intranet? Intranet is you only let people on there you want to let on there. So what the wall that China has, because China was talking about our wall on our border, they have a huge wall. It's an electronic wall. It's an intranet wall with 750 million users.
It's an information wall, right?
That's why Jack Ma has so much money. I mean, he's literally, you know, the merchandising mostly. I think 90% of his business, something like that.
This is the founder of Alibaba, right?
Alibaba, which is part, this is important because we're trying to let you know that these systems are being established. China's not a small little country. They're a very large economy. We're twice presently the size of their economy. Products that we buy, we merchandise, we buy from China. And they're realizing you got to feed up 1.5 billion people. You got to pay attention. That's a lot, especially if you're going to bring them to moderate prosperity in 4 years, less than 4 years, by 2021.
That's major.
So you're looking at a big push. And so we're looking right now that they're using the social media, like our Facebook and different things like that. And if Facebook is there, Facebook's already sold out to the Communist Party. You cannot be there unless you say, here's all of our stuff, here's all of our data. Because they just recently had a situation with our data in America and they're complaining about it. But if you went in China, you already gave them the data. Let's take a look at China and social media.
Not only that, but social media, the very epitome of borderless global communication, has been turned into an instrument of surveillance. You can't do anything in China without a smartphone, much to the delight of the companies that harvest data and sell it on to other businesses. And also much to the delight of the state's eyes and ears, which gain an ever greater insight into what people think with every click they make. The Orwellian surveillance state is being built right here in China.
You're looking at the Orwellian state is being built right here in China. Listen, they have their social network there. It's called Sesame Credit. Like we have Facebook and different things like that. And they've been building it over a period of time. By about 2020, 1 year before the 100-year anniversary, before he wants to meet his goals, it's going to be mandatory for everybody to be on the system, which rates you on who you are, what kind of job you can get, what kind of loans you can get, what kind of school you can go to. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Going under the innocuous name of Sesame Credit, China has created a score for how good a citizen you are. And that's one of the scariest things I've heard in quite a while. It's jointly run by Tencent. Yes, that Tencent, the one that owns Riot Games and has a significant share in Epic and Activision Blizzard, and also the ascendant Chinese competitor to Amazon, Alibaba, hence the name Sesame. So the owners of China's largest social networks have partnered with the government to create something akin to the US credit score. But instead of measuring how regularly you pay your bills, it measures how obediently you follow the party line. They dredge data from your social network, so if you post pictures of Tiananmen Square or share a link about the recent stock market collapse, your Sesame credit score goes down. Share a link from the state-sponsored news agency about how good the economy's doing, and your score goes up. But Alibaba and Tencent are also the largest online retailers in China, so Sesame Credit is also able to pull data from your purchases. If you're making purchases the state deems valuable, like work shoes or local agricultural products, your score goes up. If you import anime from Japan, though, down the score goes. And this score has real-world consequences. Like many games, Sesame Credit has tiers and levels, and having a high score gives you special benefits, like making it easier to get the paperwork you need to travel, or making it easier to get a loan. Now, currently, there are no consequences for having a low score, but there's been talk about implementing penalties once the system becomes mandatory in 2020. Penalties like slower internet speeds for low-scoring citizens, or even restricting the jobs that a low-scoring person's allowed to hold. But there's one more layer to Sesame Credit, and here's where this goes from being repulsive to downright insidious. Because this is all part of a social network, it also scans your friends. So you will lose points for having friends with low obedience scores. And it tells you this. At any point, anybody can check anyone else's score. And when you check your own score, Sesame Credit provides a handy map of your friends to show you who's dragging your score down. Have you ever had that thing where you play a game with somebody who wasn't doing very well, and you've tried to change their behavior to make them do better? Or maybe after a while, you just sort of stopped playing with the people who were holding you back? That's at the heart of how this system works. And it's also what makes this one of the most terrifying tools of authoritarian oppression I've ever read about. Because, like, mass censorship, jail time, assassinations, those are all big, messy implements for keeping a population in line. That messiness and severity foster resentment, eventually rebellion. They're expensive, they're unwieldy. In the end, those tools are impossible to maintain. But social pressure? Ostracization? Those things are free. They happen on their own. And as a government tool, they don't have nearly the same potential for going embarrassingly, disastrously wrong. With a system like this in place, a government doesn't even have to tell neighbor to spy on neighbor, to rat each other out. Because that's all built into a seemingly innocuous game system. The government need not step in. Re-education will be handled for them by friends, classmates, and relatives who want to maintain a high score. And if that doesn't work, then potentially dangerous ideas still end up quarantined by the social isolation this game system causes. Express or help to spread too many radical ideas, and people will stop associating with you. And not because some jackbooted thug showed up at the door with threats, but simply because associating with somebody with those ideas will lose them all the privileges they've worked so hard to obtain. It recontextualizes obedience to an authoritarian regime. In the past, you obeyed such powers because you were afraid. Fear kept you motivated. But fear is negative. It fosters resentment. The world we're stepping into instead uses positive reinforcement to promote being subservient to the will of the regime. It's Big Brother's kinder, gentler hand.
It's here. It's less than 2 years away where they mandate this system. It's 1 year before the goal of President Xi's 2021 100-year anniversary of the Communist Party, where they kick in this total control of 1.3 billion people, and plus the infrastructure they're building around the earth and what's going on. This is something with the pendulum swinging to the east. I want to encourage you, pay attention, you know, get drunk on any prosperity. Realize you need to be ready, you need to be sober, and you need to understand that these are the days that have been spoken of by our prophets, but God is doing an awesome thing in this day. Great revival is coming. A great awakening is coming, but at the same time, darkness is going to be happening. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we just thank you right now. Before I pray for you, I want to encourage you, comment below, write to us. I want to hear your thoughts on this. You know, let us know. If you're from China, please let us, if they let you, you know, comment and let us know or write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we just bless our audience. We just speak encouragement over them and just confidence, Lord, that you're letting us know before this happens. God, and we thank you for what you're doing in the earth. We know great things are coming. We know a great harvest is coming. And Lord, we ask you right now that you would end abortion in America, Father God, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival in the world, that you would send a third great awakening. We ask this in the mighty, glorious name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.